The war is the one, the perfection of love, harmony and unity, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Praise be to thee, most supreme God, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-pervading, the only being. Take us in thy parental arms, raise us from the denseness of the earth. Thy beauty do we worship, to thee do we give willing surrender. Most merciful and compassionate God, the idealized Lord of the whole humanity, thee only do we worship, and towards thee alone do we aspire. Open our hearts towards thy beauty, illuminate our souls with divine light. O thou, the perfection of love, harmony and beauty, all-powerful Creator, Sustainer, Judge and Forgiver of our shortcomings, Lord God of the East and of the West, of the worlds above and below, and of the seen and unseen beings, pour upon us thy love and thy light. Give sustenance to our bodies, hearts, and souls. Use us for the purpose that thy wisdom chooses, and guide us on the path of thine own goodness. Draw us closer to thee every moment of our lives, until in us be reflected thy grace, thy glory, thy wisdom, thy joy and thy peace.
Tells us that Wahabo is movement. It's this movement from the left to the right. It's this movement that's like a stream. And what is movement? Movement is life. And so this stream flows, and it is that source that's within that we dip into, that we drink from, that ever-living source of life. So, Mahabho. And we will do this practice in the way that we begin with Yah, Wahabho, and we say this 34 times aloud. So, Yah, Wahabho, 34 times aloud. And then, in the second stage of 34, we soften that. We drop the yaw and we just whisper, Wahabo, Wahabo. And then in the last 33 repetitions of the wazifa, it is silently said inwardly upon the breath.
Yeah.
got to drink from the real stream a little bit first. So the reading, the words of our beloved master, Hazrat Malik Khan, who greets us all, beginning by saying, "Beloved ones of God, I would like to speak on the subject of communicating with life. That from the point of view of the mystic, life in all its aspects is communicative. If we only knew the secret of communicating with life. As long as one is ignorant of this secret, one is deaf with ears and blind with eyes. There are stories of the sages and saints who spoke with trees and plants and rocks and mountains and seas. People take them as legends, but that is as true as anything else in this world of variety. But it is not only true of the past, but it can always be and always is possible if one knew how to communicate with life. In the lower creation, we recognize a faculty and we call it instinct. The tendency that makes the birds fly without learning and the fish swim without learning. Besides, this instinct shows in the form of intuition among the lower creation. In every person, there is more or less a faculty of perceiving impressions, and that is the first step toward intuition. The finer the person, the greater his perception. The next stage is intuition. By intuition, one feels the warning of a coming danger, the promise of success, a warning of a failure. If there is any change to take in place in life, one feels it. If one thinks, maybe my intuition is not right, and by following my intuition, I will fail, one takes another way. That is the way of reasoning, of logic. Naturally, his intuition becomes blunted after some time. And if one has not made use of that faculty, it disappears. Another wonderful thing about intuition is that one is blessed with intuition according to his sincerity. If a person is earnest, sincere, sympathetic, kind, that person is blessed with intuition. And if these qualities are lacking, intuition is lacking too. Those who have no intuition, they have difficulty also in attaining to the spiritual ideal. Because the spiritual belief does not come from an outer experience by reason and logic. It is a belief that springs from within in the form of intuition. And if intuitive faculty is not developed, that person's belief is not strong. In the first place, a person who lacks intuition lacks belief too. And if he has belief, that belief is not strong enough because it is not built on a sound foundation. The next step in the path of intuition is what men call inspiration. Poets, writers, musicians, thinkers, philosophers can make use of this faculty. Others have it, but they do not know how to use it. That which one cannot create in 10 years in the form of art, poetry, or music, by inspiration, one can create it in a few moments. It is a natural flow. You have no difficulty in working it out. Inspiration comes already arranged. There is very little to be done by the brain and by the mind. Besides, everything that comes through inspiration is living and is most beautiful, most harmonious. Compared to the art of poetry or music that is the outcome of the brain. Music of the ancient times, such as Wagner and Beethoven, their works are still living. And no matter how often you hear them, you always thirst for them. The modern music has not that appeal. And the same thing is with the ancient art. There is something living in that art, and today, with all the progress in the art, that something living is missing. The same thing with poetry. In Persia, we have great poets such as Hafiz and Rumi and Sa'di, whose works are today studied and highly esteemed by millions of people in the East. And I might say, sorry, Marcia, I'm interrupting. And in the West, too. Rumi and Hafiz and Sa'di. And they consider that without their works, there is no humane culture. That is the foundation of humane culture in the East. After that, many poets have tried to write such works as the works of Rumi and Hafiz, but they have not yet succeeded after many centuries. It seems that inspiration is lost. Whenever it comes through, inspiration is living and life-giving, and it will always last, and one will never get tired. A step further than inspiration, it is what is called vision. I'll read that one more time. A step further than inspiration is what is called vision. It is more than inspiration. One need not see a vision in a dream. One can have a vision in a wakeful condition. There is nothing to be frightened about it. It is only a clearness of the inner sight. A knowledge comes in a flash. A problem is solved. A philosophical problem, or a certain hidden law of life, of nature, has become manifest in a very clear form. Or one has gotten in touch with something or someone at an unimaginable distance. People have misunderstood the meaning of vision very often, and very often many have pretended being visionary. But really speaking, to develop the inner vision is a great progress of the soul. And if one goes still further in the path of intuition, one comes to what we call revelation, that everything and being reveals to him its secret. He finds that every leaf has a tongue to tell its legend, that every soul is a living book which reads its own story. One finds that every condition of life brings its inside out before him once he begins to look at the condition. One feels that one is at home on earth and in heaven, that the here and the hereafter all become manifest to his soul. As Sa'di, the great Persian poet, has said, once a person begins to read, every leaf of the tree becomes a page of the Bible. The great prophets and teachers who have given religion to humanity, who have inspired humanity to a higher ideal, who have guided mankind towards spiritual attainment, they were the revealed souls, souls who had revelation. And what they gave to the world is their interpretation of the revelation they felt. But no sooner a composer puts his music on the paper, much of it is lost. And when the prophet gives his teachings in the form of words, much is lost too. Then there are some who say, this is something sacred, and there is my belief. And they keep to those words. But there are others who want to know the spirit of it. That where these words have come from is only an interpretation of the revelations the prophets had. And if all the people in the world knew the spirit, then there would not be so many different religions. There would not be so many different creeds. They would all agree to that one truth. That there are so many creeds, so many different religions, is because they do not understand the religion. If one understood the religion, then there is only one religion interpreted differently by the different teachers of humanity. And their revelation comes from the music of life, which is interpreted in human tongue. God bless you.
Gracious Lord, Master, Messiah, and Savior of humanity, we greet thee in all humility. Thou art the first cause and the last effect, the divine light and the spirit of guidance, Alpha and Omega. Thy light is in all forms, thy love in all beings. In a loving mother, in a kind father, in an innocent child, in a helpful friend, in an inspiring teacher. And allow us to recognize thee in all thy holy names and forms, as Rama, as Krishna, as Shiva, as Buddha. Let us know thee as Abraham, as Solomon, as Zarathustra, as Moses, as Jesus, as Mohammed, and in many other names and forms, known and unknown to the world. We adore thy past, thy presence deeply enlightens our being, and we look for thy blessing in the future. O Messenger, Christ, Navi, the Rasul of God, thou whose heart constantly reaches upwards, thou comest on earth with a message, as a dove from above when Dharma negated, and speakest the word that is put into thy mouth, as the light fills the crescent moon. Let the star of the divine light, shining in thy heart, be reflected in the hearts of thy devotees. May the message of God reach far and wide, illuminating and animating the whole humanity as one single brotherhood in the fatherhood of God.
Walking, sitting practice now.